played by Bob James. And that's the Saturday Classical program for this week. After a brief look at news, Stardate, followed by Brain Damage with Eric Corley, here on 90.1 FM. Sharp differences over Central America were apparent following today's meeting in Mexico between Presidents de la Madrid and Reagan. But Secretary of State Schultz told reporters that, in Schultz's words, there were no heated words. Battles royale for the top Republican spot in New Hampshire and for second place among the Democrats are reflected in an ABC Washington Post poll. It indicates Bob Dole and George Bush are in the neck-and-neck GOP race, while Richard Gephardt and Paul Simon are tied on the Democratic side, far behind Michael Dukakis. Senate Democratic leader Robert Byrd cautioned today that the Soviet Union has not given up its ambition of world domination. Byrd delivered his party's Saturday radio address and said the U.S. and Western Europe should not let the latest superpower arms control treaty weaken their alliance. In the week ahead, President Reagan will make one last try at setting the national agenda in terms of dollars and cents. He'll send Congress a trillion-dollar budget for the next fiscal year. Speaking about finances, New York Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan is looking for another term in Washington, and he's got more than $1.5 million in his campaign war chest for his campaign. A recent study by Common Cause said Moynihan ranked 6th in money raised by incumbent senators in the past 4 years, and 7th in total political action committee receipts. Moynihan spokesman Lawrence O'Donnell Jr. said the senator expects to raise and spend $5 million in his bid for a third term. And he doesn't even have an opponent yet. And that amount hasn't been influenced by U.S. Attorney Rudolph Giuliani's announcement that he won't be seeking the Republican nomination to run against Moynihan. Ed Lurie, the executive director of the state Republican Party, said the party was disappointed by Giuliani's decision, but was continuing to meet with potential candidates whom he declined to identify. And the 15th Winter Olympic Games are being played in Calgary. Earlier today, the opening ceremony was climaxed by the lighting of the Olympic flame at a stadium in the Canadian city. And speaking of Olympics, that's one of the topics on Brain Damage coming up in just a couple minutes. I strongly urge you to stay tuned. I think you should find it interesting regarding the Olympics, which will be discussed in both a conventional and unconventional context. Here on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate February 13th. On today's date, in the year 1678, Tycho Brahe first sketched his model of the solar system. Unlike many others of his day, he didn't place the Earth at the exact center of everything. Instead, thought Tycho, the Sun revolved around the Earth, and all the other planets revolved around the Sun. Tycho Brahe is famous for being one of the most careful observers of all time. He rejected the idea of his contemporary, Copernicus, who'd said that Earth orbits the Sun. If it did so, he thought, then the stars should be seen in slightly different directions at different times of year, an effect called stellar parallax nowadays. Although his observations were as precise as possible for the time, Tycho didn't detect stellar parallax, and so thought that the Sun must orbit the Earth. Well, today we know that Tycho's idea of the distance scale of the universe was way off. The truth is that even the nearest stars are much too far away to use naked eye observations of them to gauge the motion of the Earth around the Sun. Tycho's model of the universe, with the Sun moving around the Earth but the other planets moving around the Sun, wasn't correct, but it helped pave the way for the correct model, in which we know our Sun to be a star among many others, not a center to the universe by any means, but central in our solar system of planets, including the Earth. This is Stardate, and we're pleased that Stardate is heard on radio stations like KOCV-FM, Odessa, Texas, WERN-FM, Madison, Wisconsin, and KPLV-FM in Victoria, Texas. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory at the University of Texas at Austin, ZIP 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress. Thank you.
have reached, 1, has been changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Dies ist viel besser.
Already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording. Already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording. Already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
We're having difficulties.
And a very good evening to one and all. And you once again have brain damage on your radio here on a Saturday night. This is the 13th day of February, 1987. I'm Eric Corley, and Jim Weiner is sticking around a little bit tonight to participate in whatever it is we end up doing tonight. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How are you, Eric? Thanks for asking me to hang around.
Oh, it's a pleasure. That was a fine classical program, I must say.
Thank you, but if I may, just for a moment, unless if you have something to get to right away...
Well, I just don't want to get to these potato chips,
Go right ahead. But talking about the classical program, there has been something that's been on my mind for a very long time, and I haven't really, up until now, had the courage to confide in my audience. The state radio station's audience. I mean, it's not my audience, but the radio station.
What we're here for. Please to hear what you have to say.
Well,
go right ahead.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's a little hard to get into, but what makes it so difficult is it's been on my mind for a very long time, and on the minds of many people for a long time. People who are not only concerned or involved in classical music specifically, but in music in general. Uh-huh. I would say for about the last 40 or 50 years. And this is something that at times is a more heated debate than at others, but it's generally debated in closed circles, and there isn't any kind of formal agreement that makes it such a private debate that keeps it from the public ear. I think it's just because it's such a controversial issue.
Uh-huh.
Amongst those who debate it, that they're afraid of... by afraid, I don't mean that we're worried that there's some big danger involved, but mm-hmm. it's just something that we're afraid would just take over everybody's concern. It's nothing that involves anything catastrophic, nothing for anybody to get panicky over, certainly, but... discuss what it is, but I just want to make sure I can put it in the proper terms. But it just is such an all-consuming...
You haven't gotten to it yet, have
debate.
You?
No, I don't think
I've never
so.
Heard such a long leading up
I don't
to
think
this better
so.
Be good.
Oh, gee. Well, I don't know if it's a question of good as much as whether it will be something that people can avoid being distracted by.
I understand that.
And again, I don't mean in any kind of tumultuous way that there's anything to be afraid or worried about. But basically, what it comes down to is that musicologists and musicians and composers and conductors, musicians of every interest, classical, jazz, you name it, have for many, many years... people such as myself who do classical music programs have for, I would say, at least 4 or 5 decades carried on a very, very heated debate over certain pieces of music as to whether they fall in the semi-classical or semi-popular category.
Uh-huh. I knew we'd get into something that would draw some blood here.
Oh, yes. This is a topic that just weighs on my mind very, very heavily.
Uh-huh. You seemed to be pouting before. I was wondering about that.
Well, yes, it wasn't anything personal. It was just, it grips those of us who have entered into the debate. It's such a fine line when you think about it between semi-popular and semi-classical that it's difficult to exactly pigeonhole.
Well, I would imagine you're thinking of people like Philip Glass, for instance.
Well, no, actually, no. Philip Glass, I think many of us are very comfortable in. Perhaps his music may defy a certain exact categorization. I guess there are those that would call it classical, or those that would call it want to call it specifically avant-garde, as opposed to avant-garde classical. I'm talking more about. Music such as that played by, some of the music played by Mantovani and his orchestra.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
There are people who think that's classical music, huh?
Semi-classical. See, the key prefix here
semi-music,
is semi.
Perhaps.
Well, I wouldn't want to, that could cause you get another heated debate.
I have no trouble saying that. I don't think that's music at all. I think that's lobotomy material.
Well, again, I just, there are those that, you know, that are very, very interested in that kind of music, and it's more the prefix semi, you see, because there is certain music that's called semi-popular, but then there's music that's also called semi-classical. And within the spectrum of music category, I mean, it's not so much whether people enjoy the music or not as to what category it falls into. For example, there are even individuals that suggest that a given single piece of music changes from semi-classical to semi-popular halfway through the piece.
No.
Absolutely.
That is astounding.
It is. It not only has created a debate of such a specific nature, but it also creates a tremendous problem for radio stations that play that music. Because when they file the music,
mm-hmm.
they alphabetically, they don't know whether it should go to the semi-popular or semi-classical category.
Now, you see, we've solved that problem here at USB by just sticking to the alphabet, nothing else. We file except for the classical records.
Right.
But we file everything, jazz, country, all together. That way we don't have fights about what it is, you know?
Right, which is, I think, a very admirable...
occasionally we have fights about what letter it should be, you know? Like,
well,
Marshall Tucker be under M or T.
Right.
But that's about as far as it gets.
Right, it doesn't get that convoluted too often, but...
Oh, it does, more than it should, but not that often.
No.
As often as it could, potentially.
No, but this issue of semi-popular versus semi-classical has... And now that I've mentioned it on the air, I just know what's going to be topic A on the Sunday Today Show tomorrow.
Well, I can tell by the way the switchboard has gone totally black that happens when everybody calls at once. And the whole thing just sort of blows a fuse. It looks like we don't have any calls.
Well, either that or perhaps they're just... involved in such heated arguments themselves, amongst themselves, wherever they are.
They could be fighting to get to the phone
first. At home and hearth. Or that may be. Maybe people have knocked each other out rushing to the phone.
Perhaps we should call the police and notify them.
Gee, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to...
We are sorry. This kind of thing has happened before. We've caused car accidents and everything by playing horrible sounds in people's ears, and they turn around and they just crash into things and... it's the biggest troublemaker on Long Island, as far as I'm concerned.
Gosh, it's a terrible image. The idea of thousands, maybe millions of people lying on the floor,
potentially millions, potentially
unconscious, which I'm told happens every time my program begins.
Yeah, that's true.
People race each other to get to the radio to change the station, and they
don't always make it. They don't always make it. There's coffee tables in the way and things like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What's especially interesting here is I forgot what I was going to say. That's what's especially interesting. Would you like a potato chip?
Oh, no, thank you.
I've got two bags of potato chips here. One is the regular kind, and one is, I don't know what these are. Potato crisps or something. I don't know what the difference is, to tell you the truth. But
do they make a potato soggies?
I don't know. Susan, how are you?
I was just going to call you and ask you what flavor of potato chips you eat.
Here, have a potato chip. You just ran by instead, though.
Thank you.
Have you heard about the bloody issues we're talking about tonight?
Yeah, I guess.
What's it like out there? Is it ugly? I mean, are people killing each other?
It's cold and...
Oh, we're not responsible for that, I'm pretty sure.
No, I don't think so. How are you, Sue?
I'm fine, thank you. Good. I want to ask you guys something.
Yes.
Which one of you knows the history of Valentine's Day?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I happen to be prepared. I have... First of all, let me give out our phone number in case...
It sounds like I queued you up to say this.
It does.
I knew nothing about this.
You didn't know that I had literally 6 or 7 pages on Valentine's Day pulled out here, but I do. Let me just give out our phone number in case our listener wants to participate in this. That's 632-6901, area code 516.
And this is not a rerun. You said it's 1987.
This is live, and we can prove it. How can we prove it? There's no way to prove it, is there?
Call and they'll find out for fact.
How can we prove this is live?
Let's see.
Talk about that.
Well, there's a caller. We can just... Hell no, it's live. She'll know it's live. No one else will. It's 10:19 on Saturday, the 13th of February, but we could have done that in advance, too.
1988. Well, let's see if the phone caller is here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Greetings from East Patchogue.
What's in East Patchogue that I don't like? Something's there. Give me a hint.
Mr. Radio.
Mr. Radio. How did I know? You're the person who puts out that newsletter, right?
Oh, you finally got the newsletter.
We got a newsletter here. In fact, I was going to devote some time to it a little later on in the program because it's rather interesting. I'll give it over to Jim here. Right. I don't know if you've seen it yet. But this guy apparently does nothing but sit around and listen to the radio all the time and comment on all of us, including this show, which I was really surprised to see. But you seem to be quite an expert on radio.
Yes, and you can check Newsday this coming week. I think it's either Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. In the part two, they're doing a full feature story on me. I'll be dressed up like Howard Stern.
Oh, boy.
They've already taken the pictures. They already interviewed me last week. So it'll be pretty funny. And I look just like Howard Stern. I'm wearing a B.A.B. T-shirt. Well, a B.A.B. Baseball cap, a Z100 shirt. I got my megaphone. It looks pretty funny. So check out Newsday.
Why would you want to dress up like Howard Stern?
He's, like, pretty funny. And, you know, Long Island needs another Howard Stern on the air. You know, someone who could, poke fun of these ridiculous disc jockeys and also these ridiculous things that happen in Suffolk County. You know what I mean? But check it out. I just want to come on this airwaves here, promote myself and my career, and just to annoy everybody. But anyway, your people are beautiful. Eric Corley, you're beautiful.
Well, I know that, but the other people don't know that because they can't see me.
Yeah. Just one question.
Yeah.
You put people on the air without any delay. How come?
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. It depends on the technical setup right now. Right now we have it set up in such a way that if we put people on delay, the people in the studio wouldn't be able to hear things, and it just gets kind of convoluted after a while, you know?
Oh, I see.
But we're prepared to, you know, if we have to, we will.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, you brought back that sound effect.
What sound effect?
I used to use that during the old Better Than Dead Air show, whatever it was.
Is that what it was?
Whatever. You and Arnie Pritchard used to do.
I remember him. Yes, he's still here, in fact.
Yeah. When is Walt Scratch on? He used to be my English
February 13th.
Teacher. Walt Scratch used to be my English teacher at Smithtown High School East. Is the disc jockey on your station?
Yeah, Walt Scratch is on alternate Tuesdays. I'm sorry, alternate Sundays. What made me say Tuesday? Sorry, Jim, are you there now?
Yes.
Jim had to move to the other studio because he can't hear you, but now I think you can hear him, right?
Yeah, I can hear him.
You can hear Jim, but Jim, can you hear the caller?
Let's see, I think I can.
Jim Caligiuri with you?
No, it's Jim Wiener. You have to switch the control to air and away from wherever it is.
How did he get that name?
If you can hear me, you should be able to hear him.
I can, yeah. It's on air and there's no problem. I can hear Mr. Radio.
Beautiful. Okay, we can all hear each other then.
Right.
Beautiful. Can I take a phone caller? Do you have any phone calls?
We don't have any coming in, but I'll tell you what.
I want you to call this Eric Corley. He's a hippie from the 60s. He needs some phone calls.
Excuse me, just a second here. In the 60s, I was a little kid, okay? There's no way I could have been a hippie if I was a little kid. There were no hippie kids.
All right, a hippie from the 70s. All right, give him a phone call. The phone number, write it down. No collect calls or prank phone calls. 516-632-6901. Call, talk about me. This is Mr. Radio. I used to be known as Stephen Springfield. I'm coming back to haunt Long Island Radio. Yes.
Now, if you want to stay on the line for a moment until we get the first call, I will attempt to conference us in.
Okay, because girls, any girls out there want to talk to me? I'm a celebrity.
But I'll tell you, Mr. Radio, you're responsible for getting this call in here. I'm not going to do any pitching here. You have to get this call in yourself.
Okay, people, call. Any girls out there who would possibly like to go out and go to a drive-in movie with me, give me a call. Okay, come on. 632-6901. This is pretty, I've never had to beg for phone calls. I mean, don't you have any listeners?
I don't know.
Well, Mr. Radio?
People, will you please call in? Please. Call in. We don't have any tote bags to give away like Channel 13.
Okay, you gotta call it.
Okay. Hello, USB on the air.
I haven't connected it yet, but hold on a second and I will.
Okay.
If I disconnect, you call right back, but I don't think I will. Hold on a second while I try this out. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. That wasn't supposed to happen. Who's there now?
Mr. Radio.
Okay, I accidentally called myself. Hold on a second while I try this again. I want to hit that button instead. Okay, I think we're all together.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
What's your name?
It's Al.
Al, where are you calling from?
Medford.
Medford? Why do you live in Medford?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't
It's like the ugliest town. You have the most potholes.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I don't think it's nice to insult people's hometowns here. Medford happens to be a beautiful place.
It is ugly.
Let's let our caller decide that.
Al, what can we do for you, Al?
I'd like to know, what is this show?
Hey, it is a semi-serious comedy telephone talk show.
Well, that's not this program. That was the program that was on years ago that was called that. But this program is called Brain Damage, and we do all kinds of things with tape recorders and people and strange things like that. It's hard to describe, but we do it all.
Proprietor, along with Jim, Al Wiener. What's his name?
No, Jim Wiener. He's in the other studio.
Jim Wiener. We won't ask him how he got that name, though.
Well, you know what? We have another call. I'm going to try to patch this one in, too, if you want to hold on a second.
All right, super.
Okay, we should all be together now.
You got me?
Who's our new caller?
My name is Hal.
Hal, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from on campus, Eric.
Uh-huh. On campus, Eric. I wonder what that means.
I just want to let you know that it's very unbecoming to beg for callers.
Yeah, really.
I've always thought that it was.
Eric Corley's been doing this since 1977, always begging for callers.
Always begging for calls.
You know, him and Charlie Backfish. But anyway, okay, I want people to come to my pep rally. It's going to be March 5th.
Eric, where'd you dig this guy up from?
He dug me up. I didn't dig anything up. I just went on the air, and all these people show up all of a sudden.
See, at least I get you some listeners.
I wanted to ask Mr. Radio a question.
Yes, there, Mr. Wiener.
Why do you sound like you're in a tin can all of a sudden?
No.
He does, doesn't he?
Who's in a tin can?
You do sound a bit removed.
I think it's got something to do with the fact that we have so many people online. Now, we have Mr. Radio. You're from East Patchogue. We've got, I believe, Al from Medford. Are you still there? And we've got Hal from campus.
Hey, Hal.
Hey, what's happening?
Okay, Mr. Wiener.
Yes.
What was your question?
For some reason, Hal's voice sounds very familiar.
Hal,
I can't figure it out.
How did you get your name?
Which one? Are you
the Eric, are you
Radio.
One?
Mr. Radio?
Yes.
It was a nickname given to by, you know, some people in the business, because I know everything about radio, and I know everything
Whoops.
About radio.
Because, this is interesting, because... many years ago,
right.
Eric, when are we going to see Kate and Allie?
Hey.
Don't speak out of turn here.
Right.
You know
right.
what this reminds me of? That that commercial for the where you can call
the T line.
Yeah, right, right.
Eric Corley calls the gay line.
Do you like Bruce Springsteen? Everybody
yeah,
likes
everybody
Bruce.
Loves Bruce. Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
I'll give you some of this.
There's nowhere to hide when the phone bell comes.
But many, many years ago, there was a gentleman who, this is before radios were invented.
Right.
But there was a gentleman who knew all about pot-bellied stoves.
Right.
And he put out a newsletter about them, and they called him Mr. Pot-bellied Stove. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, no, I was not
ingenious.
Familiar with that.
Yes, and so I think that you're actually perpetuating a tradition. Of course, you're dealing with a different technology.
Okay,
I think that's it's quite interesting.
We do have another caller coming in. I'm going to try to patch in yet a fourth caller and see if we can set a record here. Hold on. Okay, we should all be together. Who's our new caller?
Hello. Eric, when did you learn how to do this?
Eric Corley, the president.
Is there a new caller in there? Okay, well, another call is coming in, so let me try getting that one. Okay, do we have a new caller?
Yes, you do.
What do you
hello,
have, this
you
like camp?
Hello?
Okay, who do we have now?
Hello, what's your name?
My name is
Is this a camp line?
Wait, what's your name? Are you a girl?
It appears that
do
way.
Do you like Bruce Springsteen?
As far as I know, I'm a girl.
What do you look like?
Jerry, hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, she sounds bad.
Apparently some of our callers know each other. I would advise them to speak to each other on a private line and talk to all of Long Island on this line.
She sounds very fat.
This guy kind of got carried away.
What's your name, sweet? I have a question for Mr. Radio.
What?
How did you get the name Mr.?
I don't know. Sweet, what do you look like?
Sweet? What do I look like?
Yeah.
I won't tell you.
Eric, I think we can pack up and go home and just, you know.
Wait, would you like to go on a date with me? Maybe we'd go to Friendly's Ice Cream. I could treat you to a Jim Dandy.
Excuse me, no brand names on the air. We can't do that. That's Viola.
No, thanks. I already have a dog.
Hey, I'm the one who's supposed to get in the punchline here, babe.
You're slipping, Mr. Radio. I'm sorry. What can I say?
Excuse me, sweet. tell me more about your...
Hold on, Eric. I have to put my laundry in the dryer.
Well, we'll wait with bated breath there.
I know you will. This is my show.
Okay, your laundry's at the door.
This is my show.
Whose show?
My show.
No, it's my show.
Let me do the show. You go home. This is my program.
Jim, should I go home?
Well, I guess we may as well, because I think the callers can take care of the rest of it for us until...
Okay, well, we'll be gone,
until
then.
The Brothers Capozzi come on at midnight, and...
Oh, man. Let's talk about Lister Hugh and Ho.
Lister.
No, it's Lister Hugh and Low.
Him and his reggae program. Oh, man. I don't know how that guy does it, man. I used to listen to that reggae show back in 1977, his Saturday afternoon reggae
mm-hmm.
program.
I think he's great.
He's great. He's beautiful.
Really? As a matter of fact, I'm sorry?
We need more people like Lister, you, and Lowe.
Yes, really. As a matter of fact, Lister has been doing a reggae program on WUSB since 1972 for
On the carrier current.
On the campus.
Everything about Lister, you, and Lowe.
Pardon?
I know everything about him.
Oh. I think you know everything about USB.
Yeah.
We've got another caller coming in. Let's see if we can patch this one in. Eventually, we're going to reach the limit, but let's see if we can do this. My apologies for those beeps, too, by the way.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
What's your name?
Hello? My name is Andrew.
Andrew, where are you from?
From Farmingville.
Farmingville? Yes. Oh, yeah. Hey, I must say about Farmingville, one thing they've done nice to the town, they tore down the whole town, and then they built up the whole town. It's pretty good. It looks pretty funny, like when they tore down the whole... What street is that? That Green Street?
It's Granny.
Yeah, Granny Road. They tore down all those buildings... And now they're starting to rebuild the whole stupid town.
Well, now, wait a minute. I don't think it's a stupid town. I think it's a beautiful town.
It's like a crumbling town. It's a very high Portuguese population, if you will. The Portuguese soccer club has its meetings there.
Yeah, but we don't... Well, I hope you're not suggesting anything derogatory.
No,
because
I'm Portuguese. It's a Portuguese community, and I like Farmingville because they're trying to clean it up.
I know, now they have that new Portuguese American Center.
Oh, man. I like the Portuguese soccer club, please. Oh, man. Please. But at least it's better looking than Medford. Medford is the ugliest town in Suffolk County.
What do you think is the nicest looking town in Suffolk County?
I would say Huntington Bay. Huntington Bay is beautiful.
Port Jeff.
Well, Port Jeff and Dix Hills. But Medford is ugly, and the train station is very ugly.
What's ugly about it?
It's just an ugly town.
I mean, what's ugly about the train station?
You should see it. You should just go see it. The parking lot is a dirt parking lot. It's a third-world community.
Where?
Medford.
Oh, get out of here. Pat,
you're... And then Heniacampora. Let me talk about...
Okay, before the gang wars start here.
Wait, let me talk about Heniacampora, who's the Brookhaven Town Supervisor.
Well, maybe we shouldn't.
Wait, instead of doing your radio...
May I just say something in the style of Joe Franklin and say, every town in Suffolk County is a good town, it's been around a long time, and they're all good, and they're all...
Let me just say something about Heniacampora. Instead of doing radio commercials, Henny... Fix the potholes in Brookhaven. Give me a round of applause, everybody.
That's a valid point, you know. It is a valid point as far as potholes go. There's an awful lot of them, and I think there's at least a few too many.
Out with Henny. Out with Henny. Out with Henny.
Well, I wouldn't say that, though. That's going a little too far. We have another call. Let's see if we can patch this one in.
Henny.
Okay.
Well, hello. You got a little wacky noise there.
We got some wacky noise here.
You know where that's coming from?
I don't know where this noise is coming from. Let's tap the microphone a little bit.
How's everyone?
We're all okay.
Dropped or something.
I want to listen to Larry King's show.
I don't think we can continue with this funny noise, though. Someone's going to have to go.
That new person who called in, call back. You're bringing...
Well, I'm going to have to drop this last person.
Who, me?
Drop the last person.
Who is the last person so we can have a sort of maybe a funeral for you or something?
Where's Sweets? Where's the chick?
Okay, hold on. Okay, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
All right, sorry about that, folks. Okay, this is kind of an experiment in radio here because we've never actually done this before. Let's have a roll call. How many people are here right now?
Stephen Springfield, Mr. Radio.
Well, that's only one person, but okay, next.
Al
from,
Medford.
Jerry from Setauket.
Jerry!
Wait, let's try to do it in order of the people who called. Wasn't there another one in there?
Farmingville.
Farmingville, and there was someone from campus, too, right?
Yes, Hal 9000 here.
Are we missing anybody?
Did you do your laundry?
There's Lauren from Strong's Neck.
Oh, man. Lauren, love that.
Where does she come from?
I don't know, but I like Oh, man, what I wouldn't
I don't remember
nice
that one called.
Oh, what a nice little piece of sweet.
Now, did anybody keep track of how many people that was?
I think we got another one.
And now watch you throw a rabbit out of my hat.
All right, man, let me take over this show. Eric Corley, go home. Go have your chicken pot pie.
That must be the FCC at the door there.
Really hurting there for jokes, man.
I know things about Eric Corley. I'm going to think I'm going to start broadcasting over the air.
That sounds like a good name for a song. I know things about Eric Corley, ba 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 da ba. I don't think he knows Joanne Worley, ba 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 da ba.
I know. He once, when he was in his college days, he once did the streak. He was running around the campus in his tennis shoes, and...
Where do you get these stories?
One of your radio friends told me. Oh, man.
Well, folks...
Look, you had no listeners before I called. Now,
what are you guys?
No, we had listeners. People just didn't feel incited enough to call, you know, and
you just hate Mr. Radio.
Wait,
you hate Mr. Okay, let's take a vote here.
Ooh, one hate.
Okay, now, does anybody else on this call hate Mr. Radio?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Okay, I think we've got three votes against you right now, and things seem to be turning very, very poorly right now.
Does anybody
like
me?
No.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Hold
on a second. Everybody that likes Mr. Radio, say something now. Everyone else, be quiet.
I like Mr. Radio.
Thank you, Mr. Wiener.
You're welcome, Mr. Radio.
I have a wiener that likes me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you asked for that. Now you got it.
Don't you like yourself? That's too wiener.
Jim.
Oh, man.
We're,
Yeah, question for me. Who said that? Who has a question for me?
This is Al.
Hey, Al.
You just sit there and listen to the radio all day long.
Well, I'm a bill collector during the day, and I have the radio next to me, and I listen to radio stations, and I tell radio stations what disc jockeys stink and what disc jockeys are
and
good.
And you're on welfare, right?
No, I make a very good living. I drive a...
Welfare and food stamps, right?
No, I have a very good...
That's how Patrick is the highest rating.
No, I live by the shore.
Jim, I've put them all on hold. They can all talk to each other.
Okay, that's...
So we're free to talk to ourselves
now.
That's
fine.
So while they're talking to each other on the phone, let's get back to our conversation that we were having about 25 minutes ago.
Let's see. I believe
we were about to talk about Valentine's
Yes,
Day.
That's right. Sue had asked if we knew the real origin of it, and you said that you happen to have some literature there.
I do. And let me just point out at this point that there are the callers ringing, and if you continue to ring on the phone, we will get to you eventually, and you won't, of course, have to pay anything for the ringing noise that you hear. So just stay on the line, enjoy yourself, and listen to the radio, and we'll eventually get to your phone call. Valentine's Day. I'd looked up Valentine's in the... what do you call it? Dictionary, big book with all the words in it. And I found out a couple of interesting things. Let's see, Valentine's, in a little tiny dictionary, they said that Valentine is a sentimental missive sent on St. Valentine's Day, February 14th, which is only about an hour and a half away. And the second definition is a sweetheart chosen on this day. Whereas Valerian is a drug made from a perennial herb used to quiet the nerves. But that's something entirely different. St. Valentine's, I believe this is according to Webster's, St. Valentine's Day, February 14th, observed in honor of St. Valentine as a day for the exchange of valentines and other tokens of affection. Which is interesting because that sort of flies in the face of another definition that I found. Bear with me a moment while I... see what the other dictionary said. St. Valentine's Day, February 14th, observed in honor of a martyr of the 3rd century. The customary sending of valentines and candy, etc., to sweethearts on this day is not connected with the saint. So there seems to be kind of a contradiction there. They say that there is no connection with St. Valentine's. I don't know why we do it then. We just, I guess, had a whim one day and decided to do all these things. Valentine's... Over here, sweetheart chosen or complimented on St. Valentine's Day. All you have to do is compliment somebody, and that makes them a valentine on Valentine's Day. Or once...
How did they're your sweetheart?
No, it says a sweetheart... a complimented sweetheart.
Right.
I see. One sweetheart is also referred to as a valentine. A greeting card or a note sent to a real or pretended sweetheart on this day. I'm not sure what a pretended sweetheart could be. And containing lines of sentimental love. So Sounds like one of those MOR radio stations.
Yes.
Sentimental love, yes. I can't read this word because the Xerox machine didn't catch it all. But something of this often sent anonymously. I guess something else like that. Someone's beeping. Oh, my goodness. That's what happens when you let building managers in the room. They beep. Valentine's Day. A gift presented on St. Valentine's Day is also called a Valentine. Let me look to the encyclopedia now. Valentine is a city in Nebraska. Nearby are a state fish hatchery, an agricultural experiment station, and a federal wildlife refuge. A region of lakes is to the south. That's interesting, of course. St. Valentine was, I believe, born in the year 270. He is a Roman martyr priest, or he was a Roman martyr priest. His feast is February 14th. The customs connected with him in English-speaking countries are probably a survival from a period when a pagan festival associated with love occurred about February 14th. That must have been interesting. What do you think, Jim?
Yes.
Pagan festival associated with love.
Yeah, the...
I think it was orgy. I think that's what they meant to say.
I imagine so, or at least...
the year 270, and we think the people in the 40s are square.
Well, I was going to say, although I suppose that the pagan festival probably predated the Christian era, so that it could have even been before 270 that the festival was carried out. And I suppose, I mean, one's wilder imagination would conjure up visions of an orgy, but then again, it could have just been a very spirited and unrestrained marketing of greeting cards.
Uh-huh. Well, he is now, this is St. Valentine, of course, he is now popularly considered the patron of lovers and the helper of those unhappily in love. The lovers' greeting cards sent on this day and the parodies of them are called Valentines for him. So the encyclopedia seems to take the view that this is, in fact, his holiday. And let's see, another dictionary. St. Valentine died A.D. 270, so I guess he wasn't born then. He must have died then.
I imagine.
Right. Yeah, a Christian martyr at Rome. Also, Valentinus, a pope, was born and lived and did something in A.D. 827. And, of course, we have a town in North Nebraska, and also a boy's given name. Did you know that?
Yes.
Valentine. You can call someone Valentine. Any guys out there named Valentine, give us a call.
Yes, I know. Seriously, there are some men that I know whose name are whose names is... I'm trying to figure out, well, the grammatical... Well, anyway, their names are Val. Short, and it's generally short for Valentine.
In fact, just as you said that, I glanced over at the other part of the page where it says Val, a boy's given name, form of Valentine, and a girl's given name, form of Valentina, Valeria, or Valerie.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
And I've known a number of, not a lot, but a few men whose names are Val, and at least one of them, his full name was Valentine.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fascinating. Mm. Now, what's especially interesting this year is that all these holidays are somehow colliding together. We had Lincoln's birthday yesterday, we have Valentine's Day tomorrow, and we've got President's Day on Monday.
Named for John President.
John President,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah, he lived around 340... He lived so early in history, he lived in 340 BBC.
Ooh, wow. Is that BBC 1 or 2?
It's BBC minus 46, as a matter of fact.
I see. A lot of people don't know that.
No, and good that they don't.
Now, I'd also like to register a complaint here, that Valentine's Day, it's bad enough when it falls on a Sunday, okay? But the following Monday, there's no mail. Now, how are people supposed to send me Valentines if they can't mail them on Sunday and they won't get to me on Monday? By the time Tuesday comes around, they'll say, oh, who cares, and they won't even bother.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day.
Then I'll be all depressed, and, you know, everyone else will be pretty upset, too, I imagine.
Yeah, you'd have to plan ahead. You see, the interesting thing about a holiday such as this where greeting cards become very important is if you want the greeting card to arrive at an appropriate time, before the holiday's over, you have to be planning ahead. So you have to... It probably is the kind of situation where you really have to be in love with somebody on a very consistent, sustained basis, and not just in a sudden mood of infatuation
to decide to send them the card, because if Valentine's Day itself is supposed to be the day where love comes upon somebody in great profusion, and they run to send the card to somebody, it's going to get there too late.
That's true. That's true, and then the effort will be lost.
Yeah.
Let's go to a call. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, this is Andrew Goldberg. I called before.
Andrew, you're supposed to be on the other call. What are you doing over there?
What happened is you didn't put us back on the air. You were holding.
Yeah, you're all on hold. I thought you were all talking to each other. You're still flashing on the hold button there.
Oh, he's the most boring person in the world.
Who is?
Mr. Radio.
Yeah, he is pretty... Well, no, I don't want to say that. he has his ups and downs, you know, just like any other person. Sometimes he's boring and sometimes he's exciting. You got to stick with him, you know, just like anything. Okay?
All right.
So go back there. In fact, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me put you on hold and I can put you back there.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let me give out the phone number, 632-6901. If you'd like to talk to us, say what Valentine's Day means to you or what Valentine's Day doesn't mean to you. Do you remember Valentine's Day from elementary school when you had to make these things with paste?
Yes.
And I never could understand that back then, and I don't think I do now either.
Well, I think it was a way to encourage nice feelings in young children. In other words, feelings of course, not adult-type love, but to cultivate feelings of good fellowship and affection and, you know, healthy affection in children. I think that was the idea, and a good excuse to have them do some arts and crafts, that kind of thing.
Well, I don't think it succeeded in doing that at all, because... you know, people just send Valentines to who they want to send Valentines to, and like the popular kids got all the Valentines, and the unpopular kids didn't. And you know, I felt kind of sorry for all the unpopular kids and having to take all these Valentines home. I just felt bad about it.
That's a very good point. As a matter of fact, one of the schools that I attended in elementary school was very, very detailed in its commemoration of some of these holidays. Not only did they have us make and exchange hearts on Valentine's Day, but during American Lung Health Week, we had to construct left and right lungs.
Oh, my goodness.
During National Pancreatic Hygiene Week, we had to put together... pancreas with
what is
construction
happening
paper.
For our schools here?
I was very surprised, but they had second graders. I remember 7 years old sitting in second grade, and we celebrated Dermatology Awareness Week.
Now I think
we had to put seven layers of skin. We had to construct a representation of seven layers of skin with seven layers of construction paper.
I think that's going a bit too far.
Well, they thought it was important, and
kidneys maybe, hearts and kidneys.
Kidneys were also a big event.
Yeah, well, kidneys I could understand, but I cannot understand the pancreas. I cannot understand the liver. And I don't see why a second grader should be expected to deal with livers.
Well, we were, and we even had let's see, what was the name of it? American Kneecap Awareness Week. We had to construct a picture of a kneecap or something. We had to draw a picture of a kneecap, something like that. I forgot exactly what it was.
Interesting idea. Let's go to some of these calls. They're piling in. 632-6901. And good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts.
Get out of my radio report. Let's talk about radio and not about arts and crafts.
He's back.
But the Dermatology Week was pretty funny. That was pretty funny, Mr. Weiner.
Wait a minute. If you're back right here, who's over on the other line?
Look, don't put me over those stupid 7-year-old kids. I don't want to talk to them. I want to talk to Mr. Weiner.
Oh, hi.
I find him pretty funny with his Dermatology Week.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to give you a minute here because we do have some other calls piling up, but go right ahead.
All right, Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Get out my radio report and start this talking about it, spreading the word, publicity, and giving out my post office box so I get fan mail.
Well, we're going to read something from your radio report a little later on. I have it right here in my hand.
I can't wait.
Whoops, I dropped it in the coat.
Hello?
Yes.
I got to go to the shadows in a few minutes. I can't wait.
we'll read it when we get to it. That's I can give your address out. That's no problem. Mr. Radio's Creative Productions. does that make you feel good to hear that?
Yes, yes.
Mr. Radio's Creative Productions. Kind of interesting term there. P.O. Box 1089, Selden, New York, 11784. And folks, remember, letter bombs are illegal.
Wait, let me just take one call.
One more call.
Well, let's see. I don't think you can do that on this line here, but what I can do is arrange to transfer you back to the line that you left.
No. Mr. Wiener.
Yes.
Please, can this Valentine's talk, it's boring, I want to hear...
Can you believe this? Valentine's is boring. We weren't only talking about Valentine's.
Well,
we were talking about kidneys. We were talking about livers and the kneecaps. We were talking about that, too.
Get some exotic dancers
boring.
On your show.
Well, but you can't see dancers.
Yeah, but they can talk dirty and perverted.
No, but they can't see. That's the problem.
But we can, Jim.
No, get some...
I mean, we can't even.
Get some can't.
We can.
Well, we can't really talk dirty, can we?
Well, we
can
see the dancers in the other room.
Get some raunchy broadcast. Don't stop talking about this.
I think we've succeeded.
All right. All right. Do talk about my radio report, and any girls out there want to, you know, meet me and everything, you can send me a letter. Naked pictures will be appreciated.
Okay, don't drive over any of those landmines that I understand are being planted over there.
Radio report in depth.
Yes, we'll consider it.
When?
Oh, when?
Hey, what time? I gotta get on my tape recorder.
In that witching hour, you know, just after midnight, you know, when the kids are asleep and the wolves are howling and you know.
Yeah, mommy. Wait, hold on.
The slugs are coming out.
What, mommy? I'm not on the slide. Get out of here. I'm on the phone. I'll be done in a minute, mommy. Alright.
Is that your mother you're speaking to, or is that a friend of yours whose name happens to be Mommy?
No, it's my mother.
632-6901. We want to thank you so much for your call.
Have a sparkling day.
By the way, if I may ask,
yeah.
is your mother's name Mrs. Radio?
That's not funny. Don't ever.
No,
Mr. Wiener.
I didn't mean that as an insult against your mother, by the way.
Mr. Wiener, I could say many jokes about your last name. But I won't. But please, never insult my mother.
I said I didn't mean that as an insult to your mother.
Mr. Wiener.
Yes.
But I've heard you're a very...
Well, we don't have to hear that. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, yeah. It's Andrew again.
Andrew, why do you keep calling us?
I say curses on the radio, but...
Well, that's good, because you're not going to get the chance. Okay, 632-6901, area code 516. That's our phone number. You want to talk about Valentine's or anything else. There's something... We were talking about the post offices being closed on Monday, and I don't know if you know this, Jim, but there's something going on which I think really stinks. All the post offices have new hours now.
Yes,
they've had to cut back by a certain percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And Newsday printed this on Thursday. They printed a list of all the post offices on Long Island. Okay. Actually, no, all the post offices. Yeah, I guess all the post offices in Suffolk and selected Nassau post offices. I don't know what made them select the Nassau ones. But there's a whole list of them here, and they all have different hours. Let's look at the local ones. Stony Brook Post Office, instead of being open from 8:30 to 5 every day, and I believe from 8:30 to 12 on Saturday, which is about the standard post office hours, it's now open Tuesday through Friday 9 to 5, and Monday and Saturday 9 to 12. Okay?
Hmm.
Can you remember that, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we've got Setauket Post Office, which is next to that one. Actually, East Setauket is the one that's next to that one, and that's... open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 12, which is about the most normal you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Setauket branch is only open Monday through Friday, 9 to 12, and Saturday, 9 to 12 as well. So it's Monday through Saturday, 9 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Port Jefferson. Port Jefferson Post Office is open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 to 5, Thursday, 9 to 1, and Saturday, 9 to 1. Port Jefferson Station, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 9 to 5, Tuesday, 9 to 12, Saturday, 9 to 1. Are you still with me, Jim?
Oh, yes.
Can you keep track of all this?
Well,
we're driving around looking for a post office. You'll know what one is open and what one isn't?
Well, I'm sure that what it probably is expected is that you should keep this guide with you at all times, possibly reduce it on a Xerox machine to a wallet card size.
I think this is outrageous, and I think the only way we're going to get something done in this particular instance is to take to the streets. Take to the streets and demand something.
And deliver mail ourselves? Or?
Well, no, that's not what I meant. I meant go out there and say something against this. This is awful. This is confusing. No one is going to understand it. You think it's hard to make a telephone call these days. Now it's getting hard to mail a simple letter.
That's true.
Now, if they have budget cuts, I suggest that they just close down occasional post offices. You'll know. You'll remember, hey, this post office doesn't exist anymore.
I
can't go here anymore. But when one is open on Wednesday and one is open on Friday, and you'll never know, you know?
It's a good point. I was going to suggest possibly what they might do is economize by reducing zip code digits.
Reducing zip code?
Yeah.
Now, that's a novel idea.
Yeah.
That's a novel idea because each... I don't know what the expenses of the post office were, but if you figure it out and you add in those nine-digit zip codes, The digits, they add up.
They do. They definitely do. I think
every zip code costs money.
It certainly does. And I was going to say that what they might have tried before cutting the post office hours is to instead try to initiate a voluntary campaign on the part of the public to cut down on the letters they were writing, possibly leave out vowels in the content of the letters. That might have helped to economize.
Is this, are you talking the people that write letters? Or
people that write letters, or correspondence of any kind.
It's the weight of the ink that obviously adds up.
Absolutely. Or they could do things like cut down consonants one day and vowels the other day. Remember when they had the gasoline station rationing?
Yeah.
Even an odd license plate alternations? Could do the same thing with this. Or maybe have alternations where every other house can send mail every other day.
See, what you need here, you need to be creative. You need to think of an imaginative solution to a problem, which obviously exists. The post office is losing money. We do have to do something about it.
I would suggest possibly people should stop writing correspondence to one another altogether, and we can have the post offices open all the time, 24 hours possibly.
As long as you don't use them, they can stay open.
Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Exactly. You know, they have certain windows in some of the post offices I know in the city called emergency windows. Which are good, of course, if you have to do something at night past the hours when the more extended services are available. But whenever I hear the phrase emergency window, I always picture someone running in with a letter with a siren screaming, you know, a siren coming out of the letter, and little red lights attached to it flashing. And maybe even the person behind the window wearing one of those hats that has a red light flashing on top of it. You know, you can buy.
Well, it's an emergency. You know, I mean.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
A lot of post offices supposedly have stamp machines now, little stamp machines where you can buy stamps when it's open, when the windows are open. Not when the window, when the whole post office itself is open.
Yes,
which
I've
isn't 24
that.
Hours a day. If it was 24 hours a day, that might actually do some good, you know, if you could drive up to something like a bank machine.
Right.
Well, that's a better idea. Why not incorporate stamp machines into bank machines, and then you can just simply deduct it from your bank account and buy stamps at the same time?
But as a matter of fact, they do now have a number. An 800 number where you can buy stamps by phone.
Yeah, I heard about that, Jim. There's a number you can call and order stamps. And then when the stamps come, you get a little yellow slip in your mail saying, come down to the post office, the stamps are here. You got to wait in line for the stamps.
What is that? Oh, I didn't know
what
that.
What is the advantage of that?
I don't
understand that.
That's a very good point. I don't
The only difference is you have to wait 2 weeks to get the stamps instead of half an hour.
Instead of getting them right away, yeah. Well, if you're somebody that doesn't like to be overwhelmed by new experiences too quickly, I guess that there's an advantage. In other words, there might be some people who are unsettled by being able to make the decision to go down to the post office, putting on their hat and coat, going down to the post office, and then having the stamps right away. It might be kind of a tumultuous, sudden experience. They might be overcome with ecstasy. Whereas if you can make the phone call and then have a couple of weeks to wait and then have to go down and wait online, you can, in a more measured way, be able to obtain the stamps. As a matter of fact, there are a number of people that become titillated beyond endurance by the sight of the perforations around the stamp. This is some type of... It's a perfectly harmless condition. It doesn't really create any danger for the individual, nor are they a harm to themselves or to the rest of society, but it is a recognized psychiatric condition, perfo-euphoria, something like that is
that's a good
the
word.
Name of it.
That's a good word. I like that word.
Or perforia. I think they combine it. And it, in fact, is mentioned in a few case histories of Freud himself. I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Dies ist viel besser.
Oh, yes, thank you very much. I do.
The Germans
yes.
are here.
Especially after viewing the perforations.
Okay, well, continue with what you were saying.
But
don't let any of these noises...
No, not at all, not at all. As a matter of fact, I hope that the noises don't feel interrupted by my yammering on here. But Freud himself recognized this condition in some of the cases that he encountered. He came upon patients who would cry out in exultation when they saw any kind of perforation. It didn't have to be on a stamp. And for a while...
the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs of the U.S. government and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And boy, there
that's
is
a fun office to work in.
Yeah, that must certainly be. Which, by the way, you know, was when it was originally initiated, was only initiated to investigate criminal activity related to the simultaneous involvement of alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Only if you were guzzling a bottle of scotch, let's say, and smoking a cigar, and obstreperously shooting off your gun as opposed to genteelly shooting off your gun, would you come under the jurisdiction of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And but anyway, this bureau and an earlier yes, indeed, an earlier government agency, Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs.
Give me a napkin, please.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you, certainly. Were lobbying back in the 1930s to make perforation illegal.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't have objects, pieces of paper that were perforated. And this caused a tremendous, tremendous controversy.
Let's flip back to the phones for a moment and
certainly
see what's going on here. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, it's Al again.
Excuse me?
Al.
Hi, Al. You're from
Medford.
Yeah, beautiful town. I've always said that.
That's a nice town.
I think it's perfectly adequate for most Long Islanders.
I just came here. I just moved here.
Uh-huh. From where?
From Queens.
From Queens.
Oh, welcome to Suffolk County.
This is Suffolk. Enjoy it while you can.
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Because I don't know if you've been reading the newspapers and hearing about these gas spills right here in Setauket. Jim, did you hear about that?
Yes, as a matter of fact,
there are these huge gas
yes.
tanks in Setauket. And if anyone lives near those gas tanks, please give us a call. I'd like to know what's going on in your mind. There are these huge gas tanks, and they've been leaking since November. And people's drinking water has been affected. Their very air that they breathe is poisoned. And the people of the Three Village area, which is right here, are very upset by it. But I don't think that's what you called about, is it?
No, not at all. I'm just, you know, hanging out and listening to the show here.
Uh-huh.
It seems like a pretty good show you guys got here.
Well, you know, we believe in having fun on Saturday nights, and we like to have as many people have fun with us as possible. I guess that's what it's all about, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You
although
know, I think to get more callers, I think you should give out your number.
Would you like to give out the number?
Well, I don't know it. I forgot it.
But
now.
You just called it.
You don't give it out too much.
Okay, we're going to give out the number now. But as we were saying before with the zip code numbers, numbers cost money, and we have to conserve wherever possible. So remember that the next time you write down a digit somewhere, this digit is costing money. But we'll say it now. Get your pens ready. Okay, this is the time, the official 11 o'clock reading of the phone number, and I'm going to give this opportunity to Jim because I think he deserves it.
Thank you, that's very kind of you. The area code, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, yeah, don't forget the area code.
Area code is 516, and the number is 632-6901. That's 516-632-6901 if you want to call Brain Damage.
Very good.
Here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Very good. Oops. I'm getting clumsy in here. Okay, that's
thank
the number. 6326. Oh, I don't want to say it too many times. But 632-6901 is our telephone number. And, Al, anything else on your mind?
You know, about those zip code numbers, I heard that they were going to expand them.
Expand them?
Well, make them longer so it'll be easier.
Good Lord, they're already nine digits long.
Do you mean add more digits or take the existing digits and stretch the size with which they're printed?
I don't know now.
For example, Stony Brook, State University of Stony Brook's
that
zip code is 11794, so will it become 11794 with more digits, or will they stretch the size and have it go 11794?
Now, wait, does that sound like a zip code to you? Zip means quick,
that's
fast,
right.
Speedy.
11794.
That's a zip code. Do you know, WUSB Stony Brook, which is this radio station, has its own nine-digit zip code?
Really?
Yes.
I don't even know what it is.
I don't know
it
either.
It's written on here. No, on the program log, it just says 11794.
Why not?
Well,
I don't know. I don't know why no one knows it. We just don't really care
well,
that much.
Well, you see, originally, since this is a what's called an alternative radio station, meaning an alternative to commercial radio, presenting programs that are not very often heard on commercial radio, where there is somewhat of a freer form of programming involved at times.
Somewhat of a form of programming.
Somewhat of a form. There was an idea initially to allow the radio station, for its nine-digit zip code, to have the 11794, and then for the other four digits, each individual could make up their own four digits. But that kind of fell through.
Yeah, a lot of people pick the same digits.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm opening up some, Jim, you want some chips?
No, thanks. As a matter of fact, I hate to do this, but, you know, I've got to run. And normally I'd love to stay for the whole program, but I do have to run.
Okay. We're going to go to some more calls here. But, Jim, thanks a lot for stopping in.
Thank you very much for having
me. Offering your opinions on all these matters.
Thank you, and thank you to all the listeners. And,
good night,
Jim. Good night, Alan. Thank you for calling. And thank you to Mr. Radio. And, again, I meant no aspersion against his mother. I wish her well, and I wish him well. And really,
don't worry about it. Jim.
Oh no, I'm not. I don't feel guilty. I'm just saying, you know, that I hope that I hope he understands. I was just asking him that question. And
you see, he wants you to stumble over yourself apologizing for something not even remotely considered insulting.
Oh, no, right, exactly. As a matter of fact, I realize that I'm not trying to not apologize. I'm just clarifying. As a matter of fact, what I did want to mention was that Mr. Radio should not be confused with Mr. Radiator, who puts out a newsletter on radiators in the metropolitan area, very widely read. But anyway, thank you very much, and I've got to go hunt down some perforations. So
we're going to be on the air until midnight with brain damage.
And I'll be listening in the car.
Since you gave out the phone number so gloriously before, why don't you give out the phone number again?
Sure. 516 is the area code. The number is 632-6901. That's 516-632-6901.
That's amazing. And an easy way to remember it is 632-690.1.
That's right.
That's what it is.
632-690.1.
Another way to remember it is if you spell it out on the phone, you can go, me too, 690.1.
Gee whiz, you're right.
Isn't that something?
Mm.
You got to think a long time to get these things, but that works too.
It does, my goodness.
All right, we're going to go to some more calls now. Thanks for calling, and keep up the pride in Medford, because it deserves it, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Good night, and good night, everybody.
Okay, see you later, Jim. Susan, you're back.
I'm back.
And you're taking my chips.
That's right.
These are the potato crisps, which are different from the chips, and I don't know why, but they are. They seem a lot airier.
I think that's the way they cook them.
Light tasting, they say. Well, I don't know about that. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, it's Andrew.
Hi, how are you?
I didn't want to say the curse before. I was going to say blank.
Oh, well, that's not cool.
No, because you put on this jamming sound that I had to get off the phone.
Uh-huh.
It was like it's the most annoying sound you've ever heard.
We put on an annoying sound?
Yeah.
Did that sound have a name?
P3.
Ah, well, what was that sound?
Who cares? It was annoying.
Was it on your phone or was it on the radio?
It was on the phone.
On the phone. Well, that's probably our great new phone system. It makes all kinds of bizarre sounds. We're not responsible for that, though. But anything else on your mind? What do you think about post office cuts and Valentine's Day and all that?
I saw this bleeper thing the other day.
You mean bloopers, don't you?
Yeah.
Ah. I wish we were recording that. We could have played that back someday on our blooper show.
But I was watching it. This guy, he actually went into a post office, a mailbox. Any letter that came in without a zip code, he would give back to the person and tell him to give it back. I can't believe it. It's so stupid.
You mean you have to write a zip code on the letter or else it won't get delivered?
Yeah.
A lot of people are like that. I don't know what to do if you don't know the zip code. There's very little you can do.
I know, but writing letters is so stupid, I swear. Because
writing letters is stupid?
Yeah.
Why?
Phone calls are so much easier.
Yeah, but they're more expensive. It only costs 22 cents to mail a letter anywhere in the country. Everyone's complaining about how the post office costs a lot of money. 22 cents, and you can pour out your heart to someone.
Pony Express takes faster.
Well, I mean, it generally takes a couple of days to get anywhere in the country, but you do have delays sometimes. You have delays
for the most short periods. I mean, I mail letters to people locally, and it takes a week to get there. But still, when you think of it, just dropping something into one of those marvelous blue boxes, which magically appear out of nowhere, your letter just goes to all these places. It's incredible. I mean, it would cost you hundreds of dollars to go where that little piece of paper goes. I mean, people don't appreciate this enough, I don't think.
I guess you're right.
Well, I hope I've knocked some sense into you. Oh, Jim came all the way back from his car to make a point here. What is that, Jim?
I just wanted to say, I didn't want to interrupt, but the caller might get a better perspective if he looks at letter writing as a tremendous technological improvement over what it used to be way back in prehistoric times when people would have to use large, ungainly objects to engrave either images or language onto stone. As a matter of fact, for a while it became so difficult to do this that way back in prehistoric times they created services that would write or compose messages for people. As a matter of fact, the phrase that they used was reach out and clobber someone.
Think about it.
I think you should ban Mr. Radio from your station.
Okay, that's something that we'll have to take up with. Well, actually, you know, with this new phone system, you know, we can screen out particular people. Did you know that? You didn't know that, did you? I can tell by your stunned silence you didn't know that. Well, you have to know how to do it, but you can screen out certain people on this phone system.
Mr. Radio should be first.
Oh, that's why Jim's silent. He's gone. He's not there anymore. Oh, boy, he's gone. Okay, well, I'm sure he's stunned, even if he is running away somewhere. Thank you very much for calling, Andrew. And what town are you in again?
Farmingville.
Keep up the spirit over there.
All right, one thing.
Yeah.
My brother wants to speak on the air for a second. He's 6 years old.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
We're taking a chance here, but go ahead.
Now that I think of Mr. Radio.
What's that?
A slime ball.
Slime ball, huh? Okay. Thank you for your radio debut there. Our number is 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Oh, really? Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, ask. My name is Sammy.
Sammy?
Name is Johnson.
How you doing?
Where
are you calling from?
I'm out in Northport.
Northport?
Northport. It's
the home of the four smokestacks, right?
That's right. We got the smoking over here and everything.
Yeah. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, you're talking about the mayor, the post office being shut every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
I was looking on the paper, and I saw the schedules for that, and sometimes they're open, sometimes they're shut. One day they're half open, the other half they're shut.
Yeah, it's awful. It's confusing.
They close an hour early, open an hour late.
I crumpled it up into a little ball and threw it away. I mean, it was ridiculous.
And it's really stupid. Why don't they just shut them down on one day, whole day of the week, so everybody knows that day they ain't shut, and you don't go down there with a big mess of, you know, sloppy letters and all kinds of stamps, and you walk up there, and there's a big sign that says, I'm closed today. That's stupid, man.
That's real stupid. I agree with you.
I went down there the other day. I went down there to use the little mimeograph machine inside there to make the copies.
Yeah?
And it said a big sign that says, we is broken here. And I went down, I went to another, there's King's Park. I went over by the King's Park.
Uh-huh.
I went in there to get stamps, and the machine says, stamps, mail stamps. I put the quarter in, and the big sign on the machine says, we are not working today. Doesn't anything work down there besides the postal people? And I know they don't work, because I see them sleeping all the time and smoking coffee. I mean, drinking coffee.
They've tried to smoke.
And what do they do there?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not qualified to answer what it is they do. I'm sure they do things, but the thing is...
But they're always broken and always not working there.
Well,
now they're closed half the time. What are they, paying pinochles?
Well, the thing is, the people who get hurt by this the most are the postal employees because they don't work on a certain day now.
They get those overtime.
That's how they're saving money, by canning these people. And I think it's all, maybe we should have some citizens from the local community volunteer to keep the place open for the day that it's closed.
And civil service people.
Yeah, civil service, something like that, because it's crazy. I mean, I don't know what post office to go to. They're all open different hours now.
Well, what I do, I got a lot of friends in Port Jefferson.
Yeah?
Go to Port Jefferson down that way. So what I do is I go out down to Lilco over here.
Uh-huh.
where they have the purge valve.
Yeah, I see them.
Oh, where they, the hot water comes out of the reactors or whatever they got, the C-actors, MAX.
Something like that.
So I put a note in the bottle, and I throw it out. And, damn it, my friend gets it in Port Jeff, no problem. So I said, what the heck, I save my stamp. I just don't get the nickel back for the bottles no more.
Oh, that is something.
But I tell you, if you import that, don't send it this way, because they don't come here. It goes over to Fairfield, Connecticut, up the river.
Which river is that?
The Fairfield River, I guess. I don't know. I don't live in Fairfield.
They have rivers. We have the Nissaquag River. We don't have very many, though.
That's a pond?
We have some rivers.
There's some rivers here on Long Island. Joan Rivers was on Long Island last week.
Was she? Oh.
Don't worry about it, man.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Well, where are you calling from again?
I'm in Northport.
Northport, that's right. Home of the four smokestacks. And Jim is back again. Hold on a second while we bring Jim up. Jim, yes, what can we do for you?
He's leaving.
Oh, he's waving goodbye.
That's
okay.
Right.
He's got his hat on and everything.
Hey, Jim, bye.
He's waving as he runs out into the cold. And by the way, it must be very cold in Northport this time of night.
Well, I'm inside. I don't sit outside on the phone.
Well, I guess you don't.
But anyway, it's really good talking to you. What is your name of your program?
This is Brain Damage.
I got that.
Oh, you certainly do.
Yeah. So anyway, I thank you a lot for calling me on the phone.
Okay. Well, actually, I believe you called us.
I don't remember.
Well, we'll look into it. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Take it easy, Bob.
Okay, man.
Good night.
Good night. 632-6901. That's our telephone number, isn't it?
That's our telephone number.
Area code 516. And we got chips. And we got a call. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I'd like to talk to Sue.
Ah, let me transfer you to her private line.
That's good.
That call is now on your private line, Sue.
Thank you.
Our telephone number, once again, 632-6901. 16 minutes after 11 o'clock, you're listening to Brain Damage. Eric Corley with you here on a Saturday night, the day before Valentine's Day. Only 44 minutes to go. And, of course, coinciding with the arrival of Valentine's Day will be the Brothers. That's right. The Brothers Capozzi will be bringing you, I imagine, a special Valentine's Day program, or maybe a special President's Day program, or a special Lincoln's Birthday program, special post office. No, a special Olympics. Yes, what a great idea. A special Olympic program. That's one thing we haven't talked about at all, is the Olympics. Now, they started today. I don't know if anybody saw the Olympics. But they got kicked off into full swing, or whatever it is you might have. Did you see the Olympics, Sue?
No, I didn't. In fact, I didn't even know it started today.
Why don't you run out into the newsroom? And this is a request. I'm not ordering anybody to do anything here. I don't do that. Why don't you run out into the newsroom and check the teletype machine, and we can see who won the hockey game.
Do I have to run?
Trot. Maybe this is somebody with a result, but I know the United States was playing, who were they playing? Czechoslovakia?
I don't know.
No, Czechoslovakia was playing West Germany. We were playing, Brazil? No, Angola?
No. I don't know who we were playing.
You're writing me a note that I'm not supposed to read on the air. Okay, but I'm reading it in my head.
Well, first of all, don't you want to see what station this is?
I did that already. This is WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay.
This caller here.
Yes.
How do you know he wants to talk about that?
He says I know.
Do you want me to talk about that with him?
I don't think so.
Oh, then I won't pick it up. I'm sorry, this phone call has been screened and we can't pick it up. Of course, there's no way of knowing when this call will come in again. But we are waiting for the results of the Olympic game, the Olympic hockey game, between the United States and Bulgaria. No, that's not right either. It's the United States and another country. Up in Calgary, which is in Canada, we know that much. They were playing hockey, ice hockey today, skating around in circles and shooting goals and having all kinds of fun. And the United States was looking forward to winning a game and playing the Soviets at a later time. So we'll get right to that result as soon as we get it. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Stop eating those potato chips on the air. You're making me really hungry.
They're good potato chips, too, and I have a lot left.
I wish you could hand me some. I've got a bit of zip code trivia for you.
Zip code trivia. This is what we need.
Okay.
We have a result.
But zip code
I just heard that the most amazing thing.
One moment, sir, while we...
this is it.
Okay, we do have a result on the hockey. Here's a final. Oh, my goodness.
Did we win?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, we were playing Austria. My apologies to all the Bulgarians, Brazilians, and Czechoslovakians that I may have offended. and anyone else I may have offended, the United States defeated Austria by a score of 10-6.
Well, that makes me pretty proud to be an American.
That makes me pretty proud to be an American, too, and my heart goes out to the Australians. Yeah. I mean, the Austrians. This, after two periods, United States 6, Austria 1. We're kind of going back in time here. And we'll try to have the first period score for you as soon as we get it. Now, zip code trivia. Let's hear it.
Well, I'm asking you first. I mean, you might know the answer to this since you appear to be so knowledgeable on all of these things.
Okay.
Where the term zip code comes from?
Zip code. ZIP stands for something.
Zone.
Ooh, you're warm.
Zonal Impero... Perado, something Latin, right?
No, it's English. Identification.
Zone identification program.
Close. Sounds very good.
Zone identification.
I'm sorry.
I feel bad. I usually get these things. Well, what is the answer, Mr. Game Show Host?
Actually, it actually stands for Zone Improvement Plan.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I don't know the answer to this, but maybe you or some of your listeners would know what plan was improved, okay?
The plan of anarchy. I guess it existed
letters
before.
Letters that would say, like, the return just would be New York 7.
I remember that. New York 7, Chicago 7. I think they had to abandon that when terrorist groups took over those names.
What was that, okay?
I don't know, but I do find little old envelopes sometimes that say, you know, like Brooklyn 32 or something. Hey. It was a totally different type of scheme.
Maybe that was the zone plan that had to be improved upon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you think that would work? That every place would be divided into zones, but you had to have a combination of a city and a number. You couldn't just have the number. Now, somebody I know, a friend of mine, went to Australia.
Yes.
Formerly known as Australasia, but that's not important. And they sent me a letter, and they sent it with my name and my zip code, 9-digit zip code, and nothing else. And it got to me. From Australia.
That's amazing.
Now, that's incredible. Well, I think he might have said USA, too, but...
If every American has a Social Security number, and they're looking to, you know, narrow the way of delivering these things, why don't we eliminate the zip codes and just send something to someone's Social Security number? In fact, don't even write their address or their name on the envelope.
Well, let me ask you something. How many digits is a Social Security number?
I have to count on my fingers here for a second.
Okay.
I've got 9.
How many digits are in a 9-digit zip code? Interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting. Does that mean that I'm living in my Social Security number?
It could happen one day. It could happen
when the taxes come. Do they get mailed to myself?
Now, how many digits are in a phone number with area code?
That would be 9 as well.
No, it would be 10, but they're working on that.
Okay, that's right. When you dial 1, it becomes 11.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure how they're going to fix that, but one day you will just be a number, and there'll be nothing else. Now, I've often said this to people. It's very easy to change your name, but who among us has succeeded in changing their Social Security number? That is your real name. As anyone who's gone to Stony Brook and gotten test and grade results posted on the wall knows, that is your name.
This is true. Well, I was just wondering if anybody out there knew what those old numbers meant.
Well, I'm sure there must be some postal employees that listen to this program who we haven't insulted by implying that they play all kinds of card games in the back room, which they don't do. I mean, I've seen them. They work hard, and they're very conscientious people and quite efficient.
Yeah.
And a system that really is against them.
I hold the post office in high regard because I do a lot of letter writing myself.
Yeah.
And all my letters get there.
All my letters get there, too. All my bills always reach me somehow. I don't know why that is, but I think it's an amazing system. I mean, think of it. The whole country depends on it. Those little blue boxes are everywhere.
It is amazing.
I don't know how it works, but it works. And only 22 cents.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
Amazing. I generally write about $10 worth of telephone information in every 22-cent letter, so...
Yeah, that's true. Well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Our number is 632-6901... Area code 516, in case you're calling from another place. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, not to get off the subject of post offices and zip codes.
Okay.
You know, since tomorrow is Valentine's Day, I'd like to ask you a question. You seem to be a storehouse of knowledge.
Well, I feel like a storehouse sometimes, yes, but go ahead.
And, well, let me ask you a question. Now, why is it that, as a rule, the guy is supposed to get the girl something for Valentine's Day? Now, I know my girlfriend, she works at the mall, and Well, to tell you the truth, Eric, I don't think that she's picked up anything for me for Valentine's Day, and I'm just wondering if I'm obliged to get her something anyway.
I sense trouble in your voice, and I also sense a question. Now,
that was
my...
a question.
Excuse me, I'm reading this person.
Eric, now, I noticed you did have a...
I would like to address your point here.
Okay, go
ahead.
Just
give me a moment. You are anticipating that Valentine's Day, which is only 36 minutes away, will bring you... This person's beeping, too. Will bring you nothing from the person that you expect something from. This is known as jumping the horse. I'm sorry, gun.
Jumping
horse, excuse me. I was thinking of falling off horses and getting back on them. Jumping the gun is not something you want to do on a peaceful day like Valentine's Day. Guns and love do not mix.
Yeah.
Neither does butter.
Yeah, and butter and oil and vinegar.
Butter and love is disgusting. Guns and butter, they don't mix either. But the thing is, you're thinking too fast, too far, too much. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I kind of understand. Let me pose another question to you. Okay, now say that my girlfriend did get me something, which I know almost for a fact that she didn't, but just say she did. Would I still be obliged to get her something, or is it just something that you do if you feel like it?
Well, I sense another question there, and the answer to that is you must do what's right in your kidneys and livers. Do you understand?
We were
talking about this before. Now, the heart is something... I mean, the heart, all the heart does is pump, okay? It's a pump. That's all it is. It rests between beats. There is no emotion in there, okay? There's no emotion in that organ. That's just a muscle. Now, your kidney, your liver, that's... They're neglected a lot more than your heart is. We don't talk about kidneys and liver. There's no holiday that has a smiling picture of a kidney, or you don't even know what a liver looks like, you know?
Don't give them a chance, though.
I mean, people eat livers. I think that's disgusting. People don't eat hearts, do they? They eat artichoke hearts, but that's different.
No, people eat hearts. In fact, people
Why do artichokes have hearts anyway?
I don't know. Can I just, like, give you a woman's point of view on this?
Yeah.
And I've been waiting to talk for this.
How did you suddenly descend upon us? But go ahead.
I've been here all along.
Ah, that's right.
Never mind. Okay. Let me answer this guy. From a woman's point of view, I think that it's nonsense that Valentine's Day has to be about gifts. I think Valentine's Day is about, excuse me, love. I happen to work at a department store myself, and I think that this is the opportunity that all those capitalists use to sell stuff. See, Eric, that's what it's all about. It's about selling stuff. They don't...
You come from... His voices are coming out of nowhere. This is not a bourgeois argument here. This is not a socialism versus capitalism. This is not a Tory versus all those other parties they have over there.
Ali versus Frazier. They're
not Ali versus Frazier. United States versus Soviet Union. Black versus white.
Don't
winter versus summer. This is not an issue to discuss.
Don't you think it's true?
That it's not an issue to discuss, I think that's very true.
Okay. Anyhow, I
hope that answers your question, sir.
Yes, it does. I certainly appreciate your insight and the insight of your mystery female guest. Thanks for having me on air, Eric, and have a good show.
Thank you, and thank you for straightening this out. It's 27 minutes after 11 o'clock, and your name is Peter.
Yeah, very good, Eric.
Well, I just remembered that.
You could be on
not
the
like
air.
You've known me for like a year already.
Well, no, I don't. I wouldn't imagine that.
It's not like I used to work for you.
This is Olympic Day. This is the first day of the Olympics, and I think.
Now, the Soviets beat Montreal.
Susan, will you run into the newsroom and find out if the Soviets have whipped the hockey sticks of...
He's telling you, they weren't.
Oh, you're telling me. Well, you're not a ticker. You're not a teletype machine.
Well, I saw it. I was watching TV. I saw it. 5-0.
5-0 over who?
Over Norway or something like that.
The Soviets defeat Norway.
So let me see. The Soviets won. The United States won.
I did a little bit of research here. A little bit more research about Olympics. And I decided to look in the phone book and see how many things are listed as Olympic this, Olympic that. And I was thinking to myself, with all these things that are listed as Olympic this and Olympic that, why are we the... What are we now? What's our slogan?
The first station in the 90s.
We're the first station of the 90s. That's got nothing to do with the Olympics. Okay, now everyone is talking Olympics. Go out into the street. Everyone's talking about the Olympics. If we were a part of this, if we were an Olympic radio station, if we were the official or even the unofficial station of the Olympics, think how many more listeners we would get. Think how much more attention we would get.
But,
so what I did a little while ago was I contacted some of these people that that have businesses that have the word Olympic in them. And there's an awful lot of them. There's Olympic Airways, Olympic Associates, Olympic Camera and Jewelers, Olympic Chimney and Boiler Repairs, Olympic Contracting, Olympic Demolition, Olympic Fence and Railing, Olympic Grocery, Olympic Ice Cream, Olympic Ironwork, Olympic Limousine. It's incredible. So why not have Olympic Radio? You'll laugh. I can't help but notice you're laughing. Why are you laughing? You think it's a silly idea? Do you know of any other radio stations that are known as Olympic radio stations?
No. I guess that's why I was laughing.
You're laughing out of joy that this is a new and refreshing idea.
Yes, it is. So.
Well, I agree, and I'm glad you see that, and I hope our listeners see that, too.
Are you proposing that we become an Olympic radio
station? I am doing just such a thing. I am hoping to present this before the board and before the committee and before the reigning sovereignty and all that other stuff that we have to go through around here. And I'm hoping to make this the first station of the 90s in the Olympics on Long Island.
But, you know, in order for us to be a station of the Olympics, we have to be connected with the Olympics.
That's not true. Do you think Olympic demolition has anything to do with the Olympics?
That's a good point. Maybe they're Greek.
Let's listen to some of these people who have businesses that have to do with Olympics, and you'll see for yourself what a wide variety of people that we have who are in this kind of business. Olympic everything. Let's give it a shot.
Olympic.
Hi, is this the Olympic Hotel?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I'm calling from Long Island. I work at a radio station here, and I'm trying to get some advice from a couple of companies. We want to change our slogan to have the word Olympic in it, and we were wondering if you might get some kind of complaints from the Olympic Committee if you do that.
It depends upon what your slogan's going to sound like.
Uh-huh.
If it's going to refer to the Olympic or something on that order. You know what I'm saying?
So if we refer to the Olympic Games, then they would get upset by that.
Well, the Olympic Games would feel that you're interrupting, yes. You know, if you're speaking about something, yes.
Uh-huh. But if we just say Olympic, like we're thinking of calling ourselves an Olympic radio station, do you think that would be a problem?
There, people might feel there could be a connection between the two places.
Uh-huh. Have you ever had a problem?
No, not that we know of yet.
Yeah. Well, now, the name of your hotel is the Olympic Hotel, right?
Yeah, well, it's been listed as Olympic Hotel, Olympic Ranch and Ski Resort, Olympic Ranch and Fitness Resort.
And you've never gotten a call from the Olympic Committee saying you can't use that name?
Oh, we've been in business for years.
Yeah. Well, what would you do if they did that? I'm just curious what the reaction of businesses would be.
I don't believe they could.
Uh-huh.
If you're already in business under this name.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I guess we'll consider this a little bit more carefully then, because, you know, we don't want to get in trouble with these people. I don't know who, what kind of power they have, but they seem to have an awful lot of it.
You mean here?
The Olympic people.
Oh, at the Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, the thing is people are going to associate instead, whether they're their official radio station.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you see, we're not the official radio station of the Olympics. I don't think there is one.
No, but it's like you're saying, if you wind up saying you are the Olympic station or something, people may assume that that's what you are.
Yeah, I see what you mean, because the Olympics, I believe, are on ABC, and we're not even affiliated with ABC. But Olympic to me means
gigantic, or, you know, huge.
Right, and that's what we are. We're gigantic, and we're up there, you know, with the Greek gods and all that kind of thing. I don't mean to sound pompous or anything, but
also it's a matter of people may associate you wrongly.
Yeah,
which you may not want.
Yeah, but we don't want that. That's true. We also don't want lawsuits, and there are quite a few of those floating around these days. Okay, well, I'm sorry to take up your time, but thanks very much for the advice.
You're welcome.
Bye bye now.
Bye.
And our next stop is a video store in Queens, Olympic Video.
Woodside Video.
Oh, hi. Is this Olympic Video?
No, this is Woodside Video.
Oh, was this once Olympic Video?
Once upon a time, a long time ago, yeah.
I was actually calling in hopes of getting some advice from... I'm calling from a radio station, and we're thinking of changing our slogan to the official radio station of the Olympics. And I was wondering if the Olympic Committee was perhaps annoying or hassling people that were using that in their name. Is that what they did to you?
Well, I was never Olympic. I was always Woodside. We just bought Olympic.
Oh, you bought Olympic?
Yeah, we bought Olympic. I mean, you know, we're not Olympic. We're not using their name or anything. We're Woodside Video.
So how come you didn't use the same name?
Because we're an extension from our 64th Street store.
Oh, I see. So you haven't heard anything from the Olympic Committee or any threats or anything like that?
No.
Well, that's good, because we're kind of mulling this over, and we hear that they take a very dim view of people using the name Olympic. They seem to have some sort of ownership on the word.
No.
Okay, well, that's good then. All right, well, thanks very much for your help.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to a diner, the Olympic Diner.
Olympic Paul, can I help you?
Yes. Hi, is this the Olympic Diner?
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio. I was hoping you might be able to help me out here. We're considering a name change, and we're considering calling ourselves an Olympic radio station. I was wondering if you had any problems with the Olympic Committee on that.
Hold on a minute.
Thank you.
I'll put you through with the owner, okay?
Thank you very much.
Hello?
Yes, hi. This is Eric Corley from WUSB Radio. We're trying to find out if places with the name Olympic in them are having any kind of problems from the Olympic Committee.
Not yet.
Not yet? You haven't had any phone calls or anything? Because we're thinking of doing something like that here, but we don't want to get any kind of hassle from the Olympics. You've had no problems?
No.
Really? Okay, because I heard that they sometimes come down kind of hard on people that use that word in their name.
His name is here is about 20 years something.
You've had that name 20 years?
Yes.
Oh, but the Olympics have been going on since, for centuries.
Yeah, I know that, but it was long before nobody addressed the Olympic.
Uh-huh.
You know?
If they called you, what would you say to them?
Would I say to them?
Yeah.
Would I pay my expenses? I'd say the name. What's the big deal about it?
So you would change the name if they asked you to?
No, they wouldn't.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No.
Okay. Would you...
If they pay me enough, I'd change my name.
Uh-huh. So it's a matter of money, then?
Yeah, it's a matter of money, so why not?
Yeah. I can understand what you're saying, yeah. I'm just trying to decide whether or not we should go through with this name change ourselves. Do you think it would sound good to say we're the official radio station of the Olympics?
You're just going to name that now?
Well, we're thinking of it. You see, we have lots of different slogans for our radio station.
No, because they're already out.
Uh-huh.
You can't name nothing under Olympic now.
Oh, you can't do it now?
No.
Oh, but you could do it before.
Before was no law. The law just came out last year.
Oh, I see. So there's a law as of last year that you can't name anything Olympic?
No, nobody suggests that.
I see.
Recently, like, what was it, 9 months?
Uh-huh, 9 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
Name nothing now under Olympics.
Do you think that's a fair law?
Yeah?
Do you think that's a good law?
I don't know.
Well.
I want to wear yes.
Uh huh.
I should thought of that a long time ago.
Okay, well, thanks for telling us that. You might have saved us a lot of trouble here.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Next, Olympic Foods in New York.
You have a sale?
Yes, is this Olympic Foods?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm calling from a radio station on Long Island, and we're thinking of changing our name to an Olympic radio station. We were trying to find out if any companies called Olympic have any trouble from the Olympic Committee.
No.
You haven't had any problems at all?
No.
How long have you been in business for?
Over 4 years.
4 years, and you've never gotten the call from the Olympic saying you can't use this name?
No.
Okay, great. So I guess we're all set to change our name then. By the way, what kind of business are you in?
It's a fruit vegetable.
I see. Okay, well, thanks very much for your help.
Okay, bye.
And now, a call to Olympic Wall Street Services.
Good evening, Wall Street Services.
Hi, is this Olympic Wall Street Services?
It's called Wall Street Services, not Olympic.
Oh, did you have to change the name because of the Olympics?
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, because I called with the intention of asking if it's safe for a company these days to name themselves something called Olympic, because I saw in the phone book that's what your name is. And that might have answered my question. So I'm calling from a radio station, and we're thinking of changing our slogan to an Olympic radio station.
Oh, you know, I just started working here maybe 3 or 4, 5 months ago. And it, as far as I know, it's always been Wall Street Services.
Uh-huh.
I was never told it was Olympic.
I see. So they don't refer back to those days at all then, do they?
No.
Wow. It must have been a really, really bad scene when that happened, because I'm looking at a phone book here. This is, I believe, 1986, and it says quite clearly Olympic Wall Street.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm the only one in now, so I wouldn't be able to tell you what the old name was.
Yeah.
If you try again on Tuesday, you could find out other people will be in.
Yeah. Okay, well, I might call back then. Maybe you should ask, too, and find out for yourself what the story was, because from what I understand, these people at the Olympics, as soon as you even say the word Olympic, they're running after you to try to get a some sort of a royalty on it.
Really?
Because they seem to think they own that word, you know. And to me, I don't know, that just doesn't sound fair.
Well, this is all news to me. Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your help then.
Okay.
Bye bye. And our final call is to Olympic Pizza.
Olympic.
Hi, is this Olympic Pizza?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm calling from Long Island, and I'm trying to find out something. I'm calling from a radio station, actually, and we want to change our slogan to say we're an Olympic radio station. We were just wondering if there's any kind of a problem that you might have from the Olympic Committee on that.
Well, right now I'm having they sent me a letter that they say I cannot use no more of the Olympic name anymore.
So they do send letters out?
Yeah. For the commercial using.
What year did you go into business?
Excuse me?
When did you go into business?
Well, then the pizza over here, it's been like 20 years.
20 years, and they sent you a letter saying you have to change your name?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a law yet. I don't think they made a law yet, but soon they're going to make a law. So probably we're going to have to change the name.
Oh, that's horrible. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, it's bad, because for me, you know, I'm Greek, you know, I can use a Olympic name, but the thing is that, I don't know, I'm going to have to do it, because everybody else is going to do it. I mean, I feel bad, but still I'm going to have to do it.
Were you there at the very beginning when the place opened?
No, I owned the place for 7 years.
Uh-huh. Do you know, when it was originally named Olympic, do you know, was it named after the Olympics, or was it after something else?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I just bought it, you know, with the name of Olympic Pizza.
Uh-huh. And how many letters have they sent you?
Well, they sent me just one.
And how long ago was that?
Maybe 3-4 months ago.
And did they give you some kind of a deadline?
No.
I see. So what's the next step?
Well, I talked to my lawyer already, and he says they're going to make a law on that. I'm going to have to change it. I'm going to have to put another name on.
Wow.
But then I'm going to do it, because everybody else is going to respect the Olympic name. I'm going to have to.
Somehow, though, it doesn't seem fair, does it?
Well, what can I say? You know what I mean? It's Olympic name. It's a big name. You know, it means a whole lot, but, you know, a lot of people, they're using it for a lot of things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, I see those big delivery trucks that say guaranteed overnight delivery, and it spells out God, and I can't think of anything bigger than God, you know, and no one's suing them over that.
Yeah, well, what can I say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a small businessman, you know, I just got the name Olympic. If I'm going to have to change it.
Do you have any idea what you'll change it to?
No, not yet. I haven't seen anything like that yet.
You might be able to change it to Olympia, you know, without much trouble.
Well, it's going to be the same thing, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I wish you luck, and thanks very much for talking to us.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
And there you have it. The story of Olympics and putting Olympics on your name and things like that. And, well, I've been advised by a hastily assembled council that it would not be in our best interest to rename the radio station the Olympic Station of Long Island, or whatever it was we were thinking of naming it. So, well, we just won't do that then, at least not now. It's 11:43, and this is still Long Island's first station of the 90s, WUSB, in Stony Brook. And our telephone number is 632-6901. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment, but first, out of spite, we're going to hear something from the Olympic Sideburns. That's right. This is called Fire It Up. These guys are playing with fire. And they're also playing at the wrong speed. There we go. No point dragging this out longer than we have to, but that's the Olympic Sideburns, who apparently have their own record company, because a little number up here in the corner says OSLP number one, which obviously means Olympic Sideburns LP. And the Olympic Sideburns are on Epitaph Records, which is on 1201 Olympic Boulevard. I think these people are really trying to get involved in something here. They're trying to get the Olympic Committee very upset at them.
How recent is that?
How recent is this? Good question. 1985 is the year on this record.
You see the negative influences of boycotting?
Yeah. The Olympic Sideburns. Oh, yes. Well, you heard them here. I wonder if we can get in trouble for playing something that has the word Olympic in it that isn't officially sanctioned by the Olympic little C in a circle committee.
Well, I guess the Olympics were on a long time ago, and no one had rights to them back then, and I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe. You want trivia?
Well, we had a call from President Reagan, and he told... No, wait a minute. Did he tell us... Was it the other call that told us this about the bobsled?
I'm not sure.
Well, there is an official... I don't think he told us anything, actually. The official... all right, the first... Okay, I'll put it into a question. What is the first Olympic team to put out a record? Is
you forgot the main point.
What was the
bobsled.
Main point? Oh, I'm sorry. The first Olympic bobsledding team to put out a record. I don't hear any answers. Well, okay. The first Olympic bobsled team to put out a record is from Jamaica. And not Jamaica, New York. Jamaica down in the Caribbean.
Are you sure about that? Maybe it is Jamaica, New York. I find it hard to believe that people in Jamaica
have a bobsled team. I don't know when they practice or where they practice, but apparently... And you folks, you can see this year. You can watch TV and see the Jamaican bobsledding team and know that they've got a record out called Hobbin and a Bobbin. And if you call up Lister on Saturdays between 12 and 3, you will hear it most likely. In fact, even if you don't call him, you probably hear it because this is Olympic fever. So those Jamaican bobsledders have a wonderful album out, Hobbin and a Bobbin. I don't know the name of the band. I guess it's just the Olympic bobsledders.
I forget.
Yeah, I forget,
Jim,
too.
Jim, something like that.
Well,
I don't know.
Let's go to some of these calls while we still have some time. And you have some Olympic trivia there, so we'll try to get to all of it. 632-6901. Hello, you're on Brain Damage. Oops. Sorry, I didn't have you turned up. Say that again.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rampuldine.
Uh-huh.
I am with the Olympic Committee for the United States Olympic.
Uh-oh.
For Calgary. And I was listening to your show.
Excuse me, sir. Where are you now?
I am in Manhattan.
You can pick us up in Manhattan?
Yes, oh yes.
Oh, dear.
I am very high up in the city.
Oh, well, how can we help you, sir?
I listened
with a capital S.
And your question was, can there be problem, or many problems, from using an Olympic name in a logo?
Well, we were kidding. You know, we didn't mean anything by it. We were just sort of playing around, you know.
I did not change the station name, but in a logo, in an essay, or in a salutation, to use the Olympic name, since it is now a copyright and has been protected by law, you could be fined.
Well, let me just once again stress, sir, that we were doing this out of pure malice. No, that's not what I meant. Pure, what's the word?
Humor.
What's the opposite
humor.
Of malice? Absence of malice. The humor, that's it, humor. You ever hear of humor? It's like funny stuff. We didn't mean anything by it at all. We didn't mean to degrade the Olympic Committee and suggest that they're just a bunch of little maggots or anything like that. We didn't mean to do that.
The Olympic is not a maggot.
But we don't think so. We've never thought so, and we probably won't in the future.
Together as nations to work together to make peace and beat each other on the field.
On the field. On the field, not in the courts. Correct?
To humiliate your enemies on the field.
On the fields, not in lawsuits. There's no reason for that.
No lawsuits, no.
To keep the Olympics out of the courts, keep the Olympics on the ice. That's what I say.
On the ice?
Ice, you know, ice hockey.
Oh, no, I don't play ice hockey.
Ah, well, you should. It's a very good sport. You get injured a lot.
If I fall down, I can't get up.
Well, that's too bad. But we want to thank you for calling us and for expressing your concern.
I'll take the station whenever the airwaves are possible to bring it to me.
Uh-huh.
And the Stony Brook, I have been to Stony Brook. I have had children go to the Stony Brook University.
Uh-huh.
And
do they come back?
It's a very fine school full of very, very fine people.
Yes, and we like to think we're some of them.
Oh, you are, definitely.
Well, that's good to hear. Give my regards to Broadway while you're over there. And
as we say in my country, Balonda Falibibendo.
Ah, what is your country?
Bangladesh.
Ah,
I missed that.
Bolonda Filipe.
Bangladesh.
Ah.
May you very much have a good day.
You too, then.
Good night.
Goodbye. They're not going to sue us. They're not going to sue us. Isn't that amazing? At least maybe he forgot he was going to sue us, but we're still on the air. That's right. He can hear us. Oh, yes. We're still kidding, by the way. Still kidding. Yeah.
The whole show is kidding.
If there were an Olympic station, USB would be the official Olympic station. Now, that way we're not offending anybody.
Right.
If is a good word.
In fact, that's a compliment, I think.
Yeah, it is, both to us and to them.
Right.
Why don't you go over some of the Olympic trivia before we go to the next call?
I'm looking through the dictionary, and here's something interesting.
We have a dictionary here?
We have a dictionary.
Do you know how much trouble that would have saved me in the past?
It's not Webster's. It says, an ancient, the Olympic Games, plural, noun, an ancient Greek festival of athletic competitions and other contests held every 4 years in Olympia in honor of...
Mr. Olympia...
He wasn't around back then. Who do you think they would have the Olympics in honor of every 4 years?
Zeus.
That's right.
Good old Zeus.
All these people go out and do all these things for Zeus.
I wish we had a phone book. I'd like to look up and see if there's any, like, Zeus tire repairs around or something. I don't think they're getting any.
Maybe
trouble.
It could be the Zeus?
The Zeus games.
The Zeus station?
Nah. Zeus.
Nah. Anyhow.
Well, if stations began with Z, which they do... No, Mexico begins with X. Z is somewhere. I've seen Z's somewhere. Maybe it's Newfoundland or something. But there are stations that begin with Z, and if they had a Zeus, that would be a great station.
Zeus. That's cool.
Yeah. It'd be great. Yeah. Any other Olympic trivia?
No, that's all I found.
That's all you found so far. Okay. Let's see what kind of calls we have here. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I want some zip codes.
Zip codes? Okay, you know, there is a 24-hour number in Manhattan that gives you zip code information, but
okay.
And we're not it, but But if you want a zip code, maybe I know it.
Okay, Farmingville?
Farmingville, 117 something.
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
Everything out here is 117 something. And you know how you can figure it out? It's all alphabetical. Like, Stony Brook is 11790. Syosset, I think, is 11795 or something. It all goes up in order, alphabetically. And 117 is Western Suffolk. 119 is Eastern Suffolk. 115, I think, is Nassau. And it's quite a system there. They've got it all figured out, but no one else knows about it.
It's in the phone book in the Yellow Pages.
That's right. Go to the first page of the Yellow Pages. You'll see it there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay? Thanks for calling. Yes, we're your information source here at
WUSB.
Olympic trivia.
Go ahead. Here's another interesting bit. Do you know the Russians have won, what was it, 20 world titles? And this is, 20 world titles in the Olympics, in the Winter Olympics, in the hockey field.
You mean just in ice hockey they've won? Out of how many?
Well, actually, according to this thing, ice hockey used to be the Olympics and the World Championships at the same time. It's very confusing.
Huh.
But as of 1920. Well, their first one was in 1956. 1956.
I would say they're dominating. But, you know, this is the first year that professional hockey players in this country can actually participate.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they rewrote the rules a little bit. So we're going to kick their butts this time. Actually, we did that last time, too, somehow. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
The zip code for Farmingville is 11738.
Thank you so much, loyal listener.
You know, super, man, super. It was a great show. Could have been better, but the Olympic thing was pretty funny. Good bit.
What is this, our epitaph? We're not finished yet. It's 11:56. We've got 4 minutes to go.
I'm giving you a critique.
Well, give the critique to the Newsday critics.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Sorry we couldn't get to your report this week, but we'll get to it next week.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, let's give out that address one more time, just in case anybody wants to contact Mr. Radio and his creative productions. He's up to quite a bit, actually. I mean, if you look at this newsletter, he's got, he devotes a lot of time to this. It's Mr. Radio's Creative Productions, P.O. Box 1089, Selden, New York, 11784. And he's got all kinds, we'll tell you about this next week, probably. He's got all kinds of plans for Long Island Radio and Connecticut and New York City Radio. So,
Something strange. He looks just like my dentist. He looks exactly like my
Who
dentist.
Who does?
Mr. Radio.
That's not Mr. Radio. That's Pat Parsons from WCBS Radio.
Oh, I thought that was Mr.
He took
Mr.
a picture
Radio.
Of him somehow. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Goodbye. You're not on anymore. Yes. What have we here? Good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Hey, man. This is Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
For you before.
Oh, yes, I remember you.
And I was listening. I was listening about the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my brother, Thomas Johnson, he was in the Olympics.
When?
All in night, like 79.
Wait a minute, there wasn't any Olympics in 1979. They only go in four-year cycles.
He trained in the 79.
It's kind of like those things that go underground for like 16 years and come up and make all kinds of noise.
Like a locust.
Right, locust.
Like
but locust. The funny thing was, now that you brought up the subject of locusts, they came out this year, but I didn't see a single one. And I remember when they came out last time, they were all over the place. How do you explain that?
I've seen a lot of locusts this year.
Really? I didn't see a single one.
You know, like, I'm over in Northport, and we have a lot of locust trees and, like, big oak trees, and they're all buried in the tree, I guess, or something, and they live in the roots.
Well, you know what it is? I live in Stony Brook. They've built lots of parking lots in Stony Brook in the last 10 or 15 years, and all these poor locusts are underground, and they tried to get up, and there's nothing but pavement. You know, on the ground. And they're stuck. And they're still there. And they're still trying to get out.
Hold on to the tarmac.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. And that's what the I belong to save the locusts. And they're trying to make, like, tunnels so the locusts can get out from under this massive area of tar and asphalt.
Yeah,
and
well,
it's nobody's fault, really. It's asphalt.
I've been getting those little, things in the mail, you know, like the Save the Whales people, except I believe it's your group. I think it's Save the Locust, or it's one of a competing group or something, and it shows you this picture.
I was with Save the Whale, man.
Well, it shows you this picture of a locust, right? And the way its eyes are looking at you, I swear, you just want to cry when you see the thing. And it says, won't you help, you know, and this locust will never see the light of day again.
Well, you know, it's
he's got a foot of tar separating him from the sun.
The locusts have little locusts, you know, they have children and families. They're like katydids and katydids and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All them bugs, the small, noisy-making bugs. And it's a shame that they're killing them. DDT and PET and all that stuff.
It's a shame. In fact, if I might go a step further, it's a damn shame because, I mean, how long are we going to keep this up? How long are we going to keep it up? First we kill ourselves, and now we're going to go for the insects, too?
Yeah,
is that fair?
That's why I joined Save the Locust, man.
Well,
they're big mother. They're big things. They're bruisers. They can take care of themselves out there in the water.
Next week, I would like to devote some more time to Save the Locust. Perhaps you can call us up, give the address and everything like that, and we'll devote a lot more time for it. We're off the air now, though. We gotta move out of the way of the brothers. I want to thank you for calling, sir.
Oh, you bet.
All right. Oh, sorry, I cut him off there. Goodbye. This has been Brain Damage. Susan, thank you for coming by.
Thank you, Eric, for having me.
And thanks to everyone else who came by, and thanks to those who didn't that we asked not to. And we'll see you again next week, 10 o'clock on Saturday. Brain Damage. Lobotomy is up next.
Yeah. The lunatic is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games, daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their bonehead faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. Thank you.
voice on Eric Corley there. Great singer. He was 1988. Morning Brothers here for the next 2.5 hours or so.
Okay.
Stay tuned. I'm sorry, what?
His singing voice is so unlike his real voice.
Yes. Yeah.